ಕೋರನಂದನ ವ್ರಜ ಜನಾರಾಂಜನ ರೇ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ಜಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಾಲಯಾಮ ಜಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಬಾಲಯಾಮ
ಅಷ್ಟ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶಿವಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶ್ರೀಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪತಿ ಜಯ ಪ್ರೇಮಿಸಿಕೋ ಶ್ರೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ದ್ವೈತ ಶ್ರೀ ಗದಾಧರ ಶಿವಾಸ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ಗೋಪ ಗೋಪಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಸುಂದರ ರಾಧಾ ಸುಂದರ ಗಿರಿ ಗೌರವ ಜಯ ಗ್ರಂಥರಾಜ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಮ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಹರಿನಮ್ ಸಂಖೇತನ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ ರೇಹತ್ ಮಂದಂಗ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿ ಜಮುನಮಯಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ದೇವಿ ಸೌಸಿ ದೇವಿ ಮಹಾನಿ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಶ್ರೀರ ಭಗವಾನ್ ಕಿ ಜಯ ಗೌರಭಿಮನಂದೇ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಮುದ್ರ ಭೋತಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಮುದ್ರ ಭೋತಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಸಮುದ್ರ ಭೋತಿ ಓ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಗ್ಲೋರಿ ಶ್ರೀ 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 ಗುರು ಗೌರಂಗ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತೆ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, 8th chapter, text number 27, half of the purport. Namo Kinchana Vitaya Nivritta Guna Vittaye Atma Ramaya Santaya Kaivalya Patahe Namaha Namo Kinchana Vittaya Nivritta Guna Vrittaye Atma Ramaya Atma Ramaya Santaya Kalvaya Patahe Namaha
Yeah.
Namaha.
Namaha.
All obeisances unto you. Akinshin
Avitaya.
Unto the property of the materially impoverished. Nivritta.
Completely transcendental to the actions of the material modes.
Guna.
Material modes.
Vitaye.
Affection.
Atma Aramaya.
One who is self-satisfied.
Santaya.
The most gentle.
Kaivalya Pataye.
Unto the master of the monas.
Namaha.
Bowing down.
Translation.
My obeisances are unto you, who are the property of the materially impoverished. You have nothing to do with the actions and reactions of the material modes of nature. You are self-satisfied, and therefore you are the most gentle and are the master of all monas.
A living being is finished as soon as there is nothing to possess. Therefore, a living being cannot be, in the real sense of the term, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. The student sacrifices his childish proclivities to gain a better education. A servant gives up one job for a better job. Similarly, a devotee renounces the material world not for nothing, but for something tangible in spiritual value. Srila Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami and others gave up their worldly pomp and prosperity for the sake of the service to the Lord. These were big men in the worldly sense. The Goswamis were ministers in the government service of Bengal, and Srila Raghunath Das Goswami was the son of a big zamindar of his time. But they left everything to gain something superior to what they previously possessed. The devotees are generally without material prosperity, but they have a very secret treasure house in the lotus feet of the Lord. There's a nice story about Srila Sanatana Goswami. He had a touchstone, and this touchstone was left in a pile of refuse. A needy man took it, and later on wondered why the valuable stone was kept in such a neglected place. He therefore asked Sanatana for the most valuable thing, and was then given the holy name of the Lord. Akinshina means one who has nothing to give materially. A factual devotee, or a Mahatma, does not give anything material to anyone because he has already left all material assets. He can, however, deliver the supreme asset, namely the supreme personality of Godhead, because he is the only property of a factual devotee. The touchstone of Sanatana Goswami, which was thrown in the rubbish, was not the property of the Goswami. Otherwise, it would have been not have been kept in such a place. This specific example is given for the neophyte devotee just to convince them that material hankerings and spiritual advancement go ill together. Unless one is able to see everything as spiritual in relation with the Supreme Lord, one will always distinguish between spirit and matter. A spiritual master like Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no spiritual vision. Om Jnana Tamadam Dasya Janam Jina Shalakaya Chaksu Unnaritam Minatasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachanam Pangum Lam Jayati Ginim Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Ginim Dinitarino Avancha Kapaturi Vyascha Kripa Sindhavahe Vacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Vyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Sridharadha Srivasati Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste pleasure, my obeisances unto you, Srimad Bhagavatam. So in my humble opinion, which is an interesting phrase, because usually the person putting forth such a statement really has no humility, that's why they're making it. But in my humble opinion, the crest jewel of instructions from the Srimad Bhagavatam is this particular chapter. This chapter gives very practical guidance in our lives.
We think that we're in difficult times. We look around us and the world is filled with so many challenges and so many obstacles that were never there before or that we've not experienced in this lifetime. And sometimes we become filled with a little bit of self-pity and we think, oh, nobody has suffered as much as me. Why is the world so hard on me? Well, as my father used to say, snap out of it, buckaroo. He was good for stuff like that. Snap out of it, buckaroo. So we can look here at the sufferings of Kunti and the Pandavas and then reflect on ourselves and know that actually we're doing just fine. We're really doing okay in the long run. Now, back in verse 18 of this chapter, both in the verse and in Prabhupada's purport, it goes into what kind of troubles the Pandavas and Kunti have undergone. It's a quote here. The list of dangerous encounters is submitted herein. It's like when you're making your case. Our friend Seishin knows this. When you're a lawyer making your case, herein are the reasons why the judgment should go in this manner. So Prabhupada says, all right, difficulties? Okay, here is the list of difficulties, the Pandavas and Kunti. Devaki was put into difficulty by her envious brother. Otherwise, she was in good wealth. Kunti Devi and her sons were put into one difficulty after another for years and years together. They were put into trouble by Duryodhana and his party due to the kingdom, and each and every time the sons of Kuntis were saved by the Lord. Once, Bhima was administered poison in a cake. Once, they were put into the house made of shellac and it was set afire. Once, Draupadi was dragged out and attempts were made to insult her by stripping her naked in the vicious assembly. I love the word Prabhupada used, the way Prabhupada used that word, vicious assembly of the Kurus. The Lord saved Draupadi by supplying an immeasurable length of cloth, and Duryodhana's party failed to see her naked. Similarly, when they were exiled in the forest, Bhima had to fight with the man-eating demon Hidimbi Rakshasa, but the Lord saved him. So it was not finished there. After all these tribulations, there was the great battle of Kurukshetra, and Arjuna had to meet such great generals as Drona, Bhishma, and Karna, all powerful fighters. And at last, even when everything else was done away with, there was the Brahmastra created by the son of Dronacharya to kill the child in the womb of Uttara, and so the Lord saved the only surviving descendant of the Kuru dynasty. Whew. You have to take a breath after even reading that list, but to speak of living it. Now, in the lecture, the actual lecture Prabhupada gives on this verse, he says the following. Yudhishthira Maharaj indirectly inquired from Krishna, we are completely dependent on you, but still we were suffering materially so much that our kingdom was taken away, our wife was insulted, and we were attempted to be burned in a house. So Krishna answers him, yes, that is my business. Wait a minute. You're my Supreme Lord. I'm coming to you and saying so much difficulty has come at your hands. I'm simply here to take your shelter. And you say, yeah, that's what I do. Yashyaham anugrahami hariyashtat dhanam sanai. If I specifically favor someone, then I take away everything from them. It is very dangerous to worship Krishna. No Prabhupada says like that. So this chapter should be a soothing balm for us in these difficult times in our life. This chapter constitutes such an important set of verses, such an important set of lectures. Prabhupada spoke so profoundly, and the instructions here are so important that it was made into an entirely separate book, Teachings of Queen Kunti. And this is a book we very eagerly distributed back in the day. So, it is, again, in my humble opinion, the best collection of lectures that Prabhupada gave. Now, that's a bold statement, I know, but everybody's got their favorite. So, but if you think about it, the spring of 1973. Could somebody ask him to calm it down? Okay, I don't know what's going on. The spring of 1973. Prabhupada's in the prime of the development of ISKCON. He's, in his own words, at his world headquarters in Los Angeles. The movement spreading like wildfire all over the United States. He's seated in his glorious temple, and this chapter, he spoke on this chapter for 1 month, from April the 14th until May the 14th. Powerful times, powerful lectures Prabhupada was giving there. Very, very wonderful. So this is a very potent section of the Bhagavatam. It's a very potent series of lectures that Prabhupada gives on this crucial part of the Bhagavatam. Because who among us does not have obstacles in our life? Who among us is not facing difficulties in one means or another? However great or small, however major or minor, they're there. And this chapter is specifically presented by the personalities whose suffering and difficulties way surpass whatever we're going through. So, very, very important chapter, very important lectures. Now, regarding the story Prabhupada mentions in the purport here, Sanatana Goswami, I'd like to go a little bit into the full details. There was a very poor devotee of Lord Shiva, which is almost an oxymoron, as they say, because we see that the devotees of Lord Shiva are almost always very well accommodated. This is one of the constant discussions amongst the Vaishnavas and Shaivites. At any rate, this was his poor devotee, and his name was Jivana Chakravarti. Now, by the fact that the last name was Chakravarti, this indicates he was a Brahmin of good learning and intelligence. So he was originally from a section of Bengal, and he had spent many, many years. He had transferred from there to Benares to worship Lord Shiva. And he had spent many, many years worshiping Lord Shiva, praying to him for wealth. This is, you know, common amongst those who are the followers of Lord Shiva. This prophet says, Sarvakama. I have so many desires, I'd like you to please fulfill them. In the earlier portion of the Bhagavatam, this first canto, Prabhupada lists the different personalities. You want this, you worship this demigod, you want that, you worship. He gives the whole list like that. So it's common that people would worship Lord Shiva to get material benedictions. So finally, after all of this time with no success, Lord Shiva appeared to him one night. And he said, yes, you're worshiping me very nicely. I will give you instruction now. You go to Vrindavan, and you find one Sanatan Goswami. He is in possession of the greatest wealth. He has a valuable item which he can give to you. You ask him, and he will share it with you. Now, Shiva's kind like this quite often. You know, okay. You want something, I'll give it to you. No, you seriously want it, so I'll make that effort. What was his name, cutting off his own flesh? Yeah, cutting off. All right, stop. Boy, you're so crazy, you know. Now you're going to cut your head off? If I give you anything, you cut your head off, what are you going to, you're not going to be able to get it. Okay, here, take your blessing. So anyway, when these devotees do like this Lord Shiva, so he was very kind to Jivana Chakravarti. All right, you go to Vrindavan, you find the Sanatana Goswami, he has a very valuable item which he'll share with you. So, interesting, because this is totally different in the mood of the Goswamis. We see Lord Shiva is tolerating his worshippers glorifying him for some material benediction. Whereas Sanatana Goswami, he was living at Manasi Ganga by Govardhan. You knew I'd sneak Govardhan in somewhere. He was living at Manasi Ganga by Govardhan, and he was only there a short time. And the mosquitoes were so bad. As Prabhupada would say, I must quit this place. So he decided, all right, I'm leaving. And Lord Shiva manifested in a hidden form. He said, Sadhu, where are you going? The mosquitoes are so bad here, I can't stay here. Oh, no, I'll take care of that. You just stay put. Please, don't go anywhere. Give it a day or two, they'll go away. And then, of course, you know the story, Lord Shiva commanded mosquitoes. You quit this place. Not Sanatana Goswami. So This was because Lord Shiva resided at that place as Chakaleshwar, the protector of Govardhan Hill. So this is the relationship between the pure devotee and Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is serving them by looking after their needs, whereas Lord Shiva's own followers are, please give me something. So completely different. Anyway, back to the story. So this poor Brahmin, Jivana Chakravarti, he set off for Vrindavan. And he arrived in Vrindavan, and eventually, in due course of time, he found Sanatana Goswami. He was there on Dvadasa Tila, that nice place where he had his bhajan, overlooking the Jamuna. Dvadasa, this indicates 12. This is where the 12 sons appeared when Krishna came out of the Jamuna after fighting Kali. It was a little chilly. You know, he'd been in the water a long time. You know, you spend an hour or two in the swimming pool, you come out, it's, you know, a little chilly. So The 12 suns came in the sky. Imagine how hot it must have been. And Krishna, okay, I'm warm now. So at any rate, he found him there. And so he saw, wait, this is the Sanatana Goswami. Okay, yeah, okay. But he's this really skinny, kind of malnourished guy in a loincloth. And, you know, he's going to give me some wealth? What does he have? And Prabhupada mentions in this verse here, you know, kinchin of nothing, no material possessions. So he developed a doubt in his mind. But he thought, anyway, Lord Shiva told me to. So he went before Sanatana Goswami, offered his obeisances. My dear Ishtadev, Lord Shiva has instructed me to come to you. He says that you have something very valuable that will fulfill all my desires and give me great wealth. Well, Sanatana listened to the Brahmin. Okay. I don't know what you're talking about. I just live on begging a few crumbs, going from house to house to house. How can I have great riches that you desire? So the Brahmin was disappointed. So he began to go away, and then he was thinking, you know, maybe it wasn't really a dream. Maybe it was just an illusion in my mind. What could this have been? And in the meantime, as he's leaving, Sanatana Goswami, he began to think, why has Lord Shiva sent this devotee to me? Oh, wait a minute. I know what it is. I've got that touchstone over there. Yeah, that's what it is. So he called him back. Jivana Chakravarti, come back. So he came back. He said, I think I know what you're looking for, what Shiva has sent you to me for. So over there in the pile of trash, see the pile of trash? There's one touchstone, Chintamani. Go and get that. And that will give you great wealth. You hold that and you can desire anything and your desires will be fulfilled. So the Brahmin got that. He saw the touchstone. He was completely overjoyed in his mind. He thought, no one will be richer in this world than I am. Everything I desire will be fulfilled. He was so, so happy. So he took this and, you know, it's like his most valuable, you know, wow, you know. Like the devotee looks at his japa mala, or the Govardhan Bhakta looks at his Govardhan Shila. You know, he was just completely overjoyed. And so he begins to go away. He got some distance away. You know, Chakravarti means intelligence, so he starts to think a little bit. Now, wait a minute. Sanatana Goswami gave me this, which can fulfill all desires, as if it were just nothing. So what is it that he has that he didn't give me? If he's completely satisfied, if he's not interested in this touchstone, oh yeah, you take that. Then what has he got? So he began to think like that. You know, there must be something more valuable. This Sanatana Goswami has cheated me. And anybody who's after wealth doesn't like to be cheated. So he went back to him. He said to Sanatana, he said, I think maybe you've cheated me. Sanatana looked up from his bhajan and he said, oh, how is that? He said, you've given me this touchstone, this philosopher's stone, this Chintamani jewel. He said, but you must have something more valuable if you're giving this away. Sanatana smiled a bit. He said, yes, I have something more valuable. You would like it? And he said, yes, more valuable than this. There's only one condition. What is that? You must go to the Jamuna and take this stone and throw it into the Jamuna River. So he thought, I take this. This is the gift that Lord Shiva promised me would give me all wealth in the world. I finally got it. And Goswami's telling me I have to go throw it in the Jamuna if I want something more valuable. What to do? So again, in Prabhupada's lecture on this point, he makes the following statement. So Krishna is so kind that if anyone wants material prosperity and at the same time he wants to become a devotee, it is stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Somebody wants me and at the same time he wants material prosperity? Oh, he is a fool. He is a first-class fool. Therefore, people are afraid. They're afraid of becoming Krishna conscious. Oh, my material prosperity, it will be finished because they want to be satisfied. No, I don't want to do that. So Krishna says, anyone who is trying to approach me to become Krishna conscious and at the same time wants to be materially happy, they are not very intelligent. This is wasting of their time. Their main business should be to become Krishna conscious. And then Prabhupada says, yes, I have got practical experience in this connection. That is Krishna's special favor. I do not wish to narrate, but it is all a fact. And then Prabhupada lets out a laugh when he's giving this lecture. My Guru Maharaj ordered me when I was 25 years old that you go and you preach. But I thought, first of all, I shall become a rich man, and then I shall use that money for preaching. So it is a very long history. I had good opportunity for becoming a rich man in business. And one astrologer told me that you should have become like a Birla. Those of you that don't know, Birla is like the Gates family of India, you know, modern day. So there were some chances, some very good chances. I was a manager in a big chemical factory, and then I started my own factory. The business was very successful, but everything was dismantled. I was forced to come to this position and carry out the order of my Guru Maharaj. And Prabhupada continues here. When one becomes finished of all his material opulences, and now I am realizing that I have lost, I have actually gained. I have gained. That is the fact. So to lose material opulences for Krishna's sake is not a loss. It is the greatest gain. Therefore, it is said, akinchana vitaya. One who becomes akinchana, nothing to possess, everything is finished, then Krishna becomes the only richest for such a person. So this Jivana Chakravarti was at this threshold, right? He's understanding that, you know, I want wealth. This is what I want. And this is what Lord Shiva said will give it to me. But this saintly person says he'll give me something even more valuable. All right, so he takes a chance. He goes to Jamuna, throws the stone away. And then he comes back and Sanatana Goswami told him. He said, there is no greater wealth than love for Krishna. And material goods are insignificant and simply the cause of greater distress. Now, you take this holy name and you simply be happy and fully satisfied. So, Jivana Chakravarti bowed his head, prayed to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami gave him the holy name. And he, from that point forward, understood how insignificant this touchstone was. How insignificant that Jiva Goswami just had it sitting in the rubbish pile, as Prabhupada would say. So, Sanatana Goswami was very moved by his prayers and his realizations and gave him the full riches of Krishna Prema. So, Prabhupada opens this purport to this particular verse with this statement here that we'll reread. A living being cannot be, in the real sense of the word, a renouncer. A living being renounces something for gaining something more valuable. One of the lectures I was listening to, Prabhupada says that if a man has a job making $100 a week, he wants to give that up to make $500 a week. And when he makes that $500 a week, he wants to give that up to make $1,000 a week. He doesn't want to give it up and just make nothing. He wants to gain something else, something more valuable. I have $100, $500 is better. I have $500, $1,000 is better. But the thing about material life, as Prabhupada explains, as the Bhagavatam explains, it's just like the fire. The more you put into the fire, the more the fire consumes. The fire doesn't go out. And just like when we're doing the homens, you put more and more wood, more and more ghee, and the fire gets bigger and bigger. Sometimes that's very nice. If you happen to be underneath a tent or a low canopy, that's not so nice. So we have to keep the fire controlled. It's a perfect example for Krishna consciousness. We have to have some means of facility, some type of material consideration for executing our life, for fulfilling the obligations of our life, but we have to keep them controlled. We can't let them burn endlessly. You know, there's these, those of you that are familiar with the news, there's these huge wildfires going on in California right now. I think they said there's like over 1,000 of them. And it's just vast tracts of land, and they show pictures of whole houses just being consumed. And you can see the faint structure of a house and just total flames engulfing the whole building. And then on top of that, they've got lightning coming out of the sky, striking place. What was it? 1,100 strikes of lightning in one day. Igniting more fires. So the blazing of this material fire is just going. So we have to try somehow to control it. You know, somehow to keep it restricted like that. This is the balance in life. One devotee was asking me the other day, you know, how do we keep a balance between our material life, the necessities to provide, you know, home, car, tuition, whatever, all these different things, and keep our Krishna consciousness. This is the balance given to us by the Bhagavatam. By regularly studying the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is the Nitya Seva. We shouldn't confuse that my employment is my Nitya Seva. You know, I was reflecting with my wife the other day. I mean, I tried to list the number of types of work I've done since we've been married for 40 years. And I kind of finally ran out of the, God, this is too exhausting, you know. I mean, just about everything. So the particular occupation we have is not our Nitya Seva. Our Nitya Seva is the study of the Bhagavatam, the taking up of the holy name, the engaging in the worship of the deity, the association of devotees. This is our eternal occupation. These other activities, they have to be there, but they have to be the lesser. Sometimes, you know, usually you want the scale to be balanced, you know, completely perfect. But we actually like to fudge it a little bit to where the spiritual is a little more on the, you know, the higher side, you know, so that we're getting that. So we see this Brahmana, Jivana Chakravarti, he wasn't renouncing anything until he was assured he was going to get something better. He wasn't going to give up his worship of Lord Shiva in Benares until Lord Shiva told him, okay, you go to Vrindavan, there's something more valuable waiting for you there at the hands of Sanatana Goswami. And when he received that from Sanatana Goswami and had some realization, wait, there's something more valuable. He wasn't going to just, oh, wait, there's something. He didn't just drop that by the roadside and go back, wait a minute, you've got something better. No, no, he kept that in the pocket. You know, I've got it right here. Okay, now, you've got something better, don't you? There must be something more valuable. I've still got this in case there's not. You know, that's our backup plan, as we call it. We've always got a backup plan. Materially, we have to have some kind of facility, you know, but you know, the other story, Sanatana Goswami and Ishan, his traveling associate, when he left the service of the Nawab, and he went across, you know, traveling to these places, we all know the story. Ishan was the family servant, and he had been taking care of them for so long, and so when he went with Sanatana Goswami, he thought, I got to take care of Sanatana Goswami. All right, he's giving everything away, but let me take these 7 gold coins and keep them just in case we run into an emergency. You know, there might be some emergency and we're going to need this. So, you know, then we know the story how that one shopkeeper was associated with one very well-known and mystical astrologer who could predict pilgrims coming with all types of different wealth and this and that. And he told him, this guy's got money. And the shopkeeper was like, you know, how's this possible? Why, even my astrology is never wrong. I had 70% of the time he's right, you know. Whatever. So he started treating Sanatana Goswami very nicely. Now, Sanatana Goswami had been, as Prabhupada mentions at the beginning of this, the minister. Ministers know the ways of politics, the ways of diplomacy. Thought, I've never met this man. He's a shopkeeper. I look like some just poor traveler, and he's being very nice to me. Something's up. Ishan, you have something in your pocket you're not telling me about? Yes, my lord. I have 6 gold coins. All right. You've almost gotten us killed for these 6 gold coins. Give them to me. Gave them to the shopkeeper, the innkeeper, rather. The innkeeper said, yes, I knew you had 7 gold coins, and therefore I... So I said, what? Well, I knew you had 7 gold coins, and therefore I was going to kill you and take them, but you've given me these 6, so I won't do it. I'll help you get through this. 7. Ishan, you should go back home. Take that gold coin and go. So like that. Similar thing with Gadadhar Pandit, Mahaprabhu. They were traveling together, and it's Mahaprabhu's meal time. He took his meal, and afterwards, you have some haritaki? It's like a little spice you take after the meal. I offer this to Govardhan each morning. I have a collection of, there's one place in Jaipur. Oh my goodness, I can't remember the name of the place right now. I've sent your brother there so many times. Anyway, it's a wonderful Supatiwala. Oh, J.P. Supatiwala. And he's got this tiny little shop and all kinds of different delicacies to offer to the Lord. You know, pieces of date soaked in rose water and covered in silver, and cardamom pods, and then cardamom taken out of the cardamom pods and then soaked in silver and all these different wonderful things, you know. So you offer these to the Lord, and then at the end of the meal, take that as a nice little refreshment for the mouth and helps with the digestion. So Mahaprabhu asked, he said, do you have something? He didn't have any, so he went looking. He found some place, one house had some. So, all right, so he took some. So he gave a portion of it to the Lord, and he kept the rest for tomorrow. Well, the Lord's going to ask for it again. You know, you got to be practical. You know, so he's like, we don't order fresh flowers for the Lord every day. We get a shipment each week, and those get saved. Okay, this much for that day, that much for that day. So he was thinking like that. So the next day, certainly mealtime came, and Mahaprabhu said, any heart talking? Oh, yeah, here. Give it to him right away. Lord told me, thank you so much. Curiously, yesterday I asked you, and you had to go for some time finding. Today you had it right there. Yes, I've saved it for you. Oh, I see. You like to stash things, to store things, to keep them on hand. Okay, you should stay back and be a pujari. That's your business, not this renunciate life of just taking whatever comes each day. So one sense of benediction, another sense, difficult because he had to lead the Lord. So anyway, so we are not able to renounce the Lord until we renounce the world until we get something better, namely the Lord. Yeah. Prabhupada has given us this opportunity, just as Sanatana Goswami gave to Jivana Chakravarti this touchstone. I'll give you something better, but you must keep that up. So in the same way, Prabhupada brought all of us in. He enticed us with the holy name, enticed us with, as he called, ISKCON bullets, globjimins. Sometimes devotees wonder why I have such an affinity for globjimins. Prabhupada originally, that's what he tricked us on. You know, if a devotee back in the old 26th Second Avenue, he kept the thing of globjimins there. The devotee was having trouble. Oh, my. Here, eat a globjimin, sit down. So, you know, this was Prabhupada brought us in, and then he said, okay, if you really want something, now follow these four regular principles, chant this holy name. Then you'll get Krishna prana. So Prabhupada gave us that by dint of giving us a spiritual vision. Pramanjana charita bhakti vilochanena. So the ability to see everything in relationship to the spiritual energy and not see only the mundane temporary energy of this world. This is the energy that we completely see everywhere. This is all of our dealings. We're interacting with the material energy. We're not nirvritta. We're not completely transcendental to the modes. We're completely under the influence of the modes. So this vision is what Prabhupada's given us, a spiritual vision. Now, I found one thing very interesting in the last few sentences of the section of the purport that I'm reading today. Prabhupada was the world leader, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, still is. Prabhupada, famous acharya. We know Prabhupada is worshipped by demigods, well beyond our understanding. Prabhupada accomplished on the behalf of his Guru Maharaj things that no one else had done. No one else had brought Krishna consciousness to every country in the world like this. And yet Prabhupada himself is incredibly humble. He says in this last sentence, a spiritual master, like Sanatana Goswami, although personally able to see everything as spiritual, set this example for us only because we have no such spiritual vision. Now, when we look at that first portion of that sentence, we think, yes, this is Prabhupada describing. Yeah. A spiritual master like Sanatana Goswami, personally able to see everything spiritual. Yes, that's Prabhupada. But then Prabhupada continues in his vast humility, thinking himself to be the mere disciple, the mere disciple of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, but he set this example for us, because we have no such spiritual vision. So we clearly understand that sentence and how it's actually meant. The Prabhupada is actually that first part of the sentence, giving that spiritual consciousness to us. So anytime that we're feeling, you know, these difficulties, we can reflect on this particular chapter of the Bhagavatam, the prayers of Queen Kunti, and count our blessings, even in the midst of tribulations and troubles, and see how actually benefited we are by the association of Srila Prabhupada, the association of each other, the regular studying of the Bhagavatam, and by being able to actually take a spiritual vision, even in the midst of so much difficulties. So, just a few short words there. I'll finish if anybody has any questions or comments. I'll do what I can.
Can you finish reading the rest of the purpose?
What's that? No, I'm supposed to stop there. Yeah, that's the instructions I got. Yeah. She was very specific twice. Yeah. What's that?
Is there any use to that touchstone in the scope that you can get to the vision of your concern? So, the just give it away.
You know, I mean, what to say? I mean, we have given up things in our own mind that were of great value to us at the time, you know. So, I mean, it takes some faith, it takes some trust, you know. It would be interesting to find out where in the Jimonihi threw that. There are so many things in the bottom of the Jamuna. You know, regularly, I think it's every 20 years, they drain Radha Kund. And when they drain Radha Kund, they find so many things, shalagrams and deities and this and that, and you know, like that. People that go and place these things into Radha Kund. So, you can imagine. I was with Indradyumna Swami one time. We were at the Braj Mohan Temple of Narottam Das Thakur. And they had broken ground for a guest house they were building in the back of the property to accommodate visitors. And as they were digging, about 3 meters, they said. So 3 meters, that's like what, 9-10 feet? So below ground, they came across a room, the ceiling of a room, and so they broke through it and they went down, and it was actually a room that they found. And they could estimate that from everything they found in this room, it was about 150 years. And so they got this thing, that thing, and the other. One thing they brought out was this beautiful deity of Radharani. One hand holding a lotus like that, the other hand like this. You know, the kind that slide into a little stand. The stand wasn't interested. So she happens to reside in my house right now. At any rate. and then at the Shamananda temple, Radha Shamsundar, the Radha Shamsundar temple is famous for different theatrical productions during Rasa Leela time and Janmasthami time and all. So they go around and do this, but they have to go places. They didn't have anywhere to do it. But they have this big courtyard, so they decided we should build a theater, a stage. You know, so they built this stage and theater. As they were digging, here again, some feet underground, they came across an underground room. And they went into it, and from what they found there, they could understand this was the underground samadhi of Shamananda Pandit. They found his Radha Krishna deities, Aryan style, that's how they knew they were his, some writings like that, you know. So that's preserved now, and you can go there and, you know, you pick a couple of rupees, they let you in, and you have to climb down through this little stairway and go in. It's just this underground area. So, yeah, beneath the Jamuna, under Radha Kund, underneath just 10 feet below the surface of Vrindavan, there's so many treasures, you know. But, I mean, we ultimately have to be satisfied that we've got the greatest treasure from Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna. So, third canto, there's that.
That's why I barely heard what you were saying, Sesha. This thing wasn't on. Sorry. Yes.
The series of lectures Prabhupada was giving concerning Devahuti and the instructions from Lord Kapila. Mm-hmm. And Prabhupada was saying that pious activities, they're meant to purify us so that we can actually see Krishna, see the Lord. And that's the real wealth. Prabhupada talks about how austerity is the only way that through austerity we can actually purchase Krishna in a sense, you know, not through some mental gymnastics and so forth. So anyway, just that pious activities help us, like coming to the temple and engaging in service actually helps us to purify our intelligence so that we can actually have a relationship with Krishna.
Yeah, no, austerity is a necessity, especially for the Brahmin class, must be performed. Austerity can either be, you know, serious austerity, you know, full chaturmasya or dandabhut parikrams or whatever, or it could be simple austerity, get up in the morning, taking a cold shower, coming to see the deities, these different types of austerities like that, yeah.
It's like that Brahmin, his austerity was to throw the stone in the Yamuna.
It has to be done. You see, it looks like we have a question here. The verse that all should have read different thing like a million. Looks like there's three questions here.
Not the bottom one.
Just the bottom one. What about Rupa Goswami saying Papanchana Kataiha Bhujhaya? I don't know the translation on that. Yeah. Everything can be engaged in the Lord. That was the perfection of what Prabhupada gave us in Krishna consciousness. Take whatever you got, he always said. You don't have to give anything up, just add Krishna. You're a lawyer? Don't stop being a lawyer. You're a salesman? Don't stop being a salesman. Just put Krishna in the middle of the equation. If you put Krishna at the front of the equation, then at the other end you might be. If you put Krishna at the end of the equation, then you might never get there. But if you put Krishna in the middle, he's going to be right there for the whole thing. So yeah, we don't have to give up any particular thing. I mean, you know, we give up our simple activities and like that, but I mean, as far as what it is we're doing, we take our propensities, engage them in Krishna service. Prabhupada said that famously. If you're an artist, paint for Krishna. If you're a builder, build temples for Krishna. If you're a writer, write for Krishna. So yeah. Goswami was famous for that. Alrighty, we'll finish there, past our time. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak on Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.
Rishi Chaturatna. Yes, you have a question. Just to come back.
Go ahead.
Tell me. Well, who's going to answer it? Hey, okay, everybody out there in radio land, here's a late breaking question or comment. Hare Krishna, it is very sweet how you, that would be the speaker who's now departed, characterize Prabhupada enticing devotees with ISKCON bullets leading to deeper bhakti by following the rules and regulations. Exclamation point. Regarding our gold coins that remain hidden, Sanatana Goswami's servant paid the highest price. He lost Sanatana Association. What hope is there for us who still remain deeply attached despite the Shastra and best advice? He is likely committing a 10th offense in chanting. It is very scary that we remain so attached. Okay, I got a comment. Well, it's a good thing that we're aware that we remain attached. That's a redeeming quality. I mean, we used to be attached and think that was a good thing, and now we are aware that it's something to work on. All right.
You are one.
Oh,